What follows is what I would like to think of as a story hour in fast forward. I am going to give a rundown of where the party has been, who the party consists of, and why they went there. Despite the general brevity, I will try to keep this is probably over a year worth of game time, so expect this to be lengthy. If you aren't really interested, skip to the last paragraph, where I will set the party up for next session. Cue the beginning of the Sunless Citadel. Lord Jelvin of Greyhawk had a problem. Far to the east, across Lake Trill and along the old road, lay the small hamlet of Oakhurst. Every year a local tribe of goblins offered a special, magical apple to the people of Oakhurst for sale, and they likewise sold it to Lord Jelvin. One year, however, they failed to produce the apple for the townspeople, who assembled a small band of their young folk and sent them into the goblins' lair to discover the reason for their absence. When they failed to return, Lord Jelvin decided to take a hand himself. One way or another, he had recently obtained the services of 6 special youths. These youths were Tez, a half-orc from the western plains. Insane, with strong pyromanical tendencies. Useful for his impressive strength, but controllable only in combination with Zet, Tez's brother. Another half-orc barbarian from the western plains. Evil, with a wide mean streak, but one of the few capable of making Tez see reason. Jawsen, a small dexterous halfling. Possessing of a murderous rage against many of the humanoid races, Jawsen has the makings of a cold-hearted killer. Lydia, a kind and benevolent cleric of Keller. Especially of note because of her aptitude with healing magics. Listener, a human warrior of great renown. Skilled with sword and shield. Melder, a half-elf sorcerer with great promise. Tough, and lucky to boot. Traveling to Oakhurst, the group penetrated deep within the goblin's stronghold. Along the way, they met up with and befriended Meepo, outcast kobold. Kicked from his tribe for uselessness, which is pretty bad coming from a tribe of kobolds. Erky, a gnome warrior cleric who had been captured by the goblins. Brevers, a dwarf possessing strange powers of the mind. He had been traveling with Erky when they had both been captured, but had managed to break free using his abilities. Deep in the goblin's stronghold, the party discovered that the apples came from a large and holy tree planted deep within their home. Slaying the druid who had taken control of the tree and burning it to the ground, the group returned to Lord Jelvin much depleted. Tez had been smashed by some kind of flaming, burrowing worm. Erky had been killed by a similar beast. Brevers was struck down by a bugbear in the employ of the tree's druid. Zet was struck low by the unholy tree's druid, whose animal companion finished him off. Jawsen bled to death from wounds accumulated during the fight in the grove. Despite Melder's best efforts, Jawsen's wounds were too great to staunch. This is where the first module, the Sunless Citadel, ends. Here begins the Forge of Fury. Feeling remorse at sending so many to their deaths, Jelvin asks the party to partake what he thinks will be an easy job. One of the maps the party had found in the citadel is apparently directions towards the Glitterheim, a legendary lost dwarven stronghold. Supposedly, the stronghold was the home of Durtadin, one of the legendary mastersmiths. Jelvin simply wanted the party to venture to the abandoned Glitterheim and collect anything there that bore Durtadin's mark. In addition, he had hired a young scout to help the party out. Ashram, growing up on the streets, Ashram aspired to be an assassin. Already possessing a killer instinct, it won't take him long. In the abandoned Glitterheim, the group finds it very much not abandoned. At one point, a ghost of madness and death laid its hands upon Lydia's brow. In the act, it drove her partly insane, lessening her ability to sleep and limiting her connection with her god. In addition, inside laird a young dragon which the party barely prevailed against. While in the Glitterheim, the party learned that the unholy tree had been the remains of an ancient vampire and had been foolishly killed with a green stick that had eventually grown into the tree they had burned down. In the process of destroying the tree, the party had freed the vampire, Dolphius, and in his climb back to power he planned on turning the party to his side and enlisting his aid. Fighting off the vampiric lackey Dolphius had sent for them, the group left the Forge of Fury weary but laden with many of Durjadin's artifacts. Here ends the Forge of Fury. Here begins the Speaker in Dreams. Lord Jelvin, feeling responsible for Lydia's condition, pulls some strings within the Church of Peller and arranges to have her healed in the nearby city of Brindingford. Arriving there, the group finds the city infested with beasts of various kinds. After slaying a pack of werewolves and grimlocks and breaking up a small cabal of evil spellcasters, the group found themselves the heroes of the town. That's when things really got bad. A mind flayer had taken control of the Baron of the city, and had ordered the city gates locked shut. Fiendish clerics had taken control of the Temple of Peller and desecrated a large part of it, in addition to opening a portal allowing a limited amount of devils into the world. In the battle with the Mind Flayer, an enslaved Medusa turned Lysander into stone. The group's chances against the heavily entrenched demonic forces looked dismal until Ulfgar arrived. Ulfgar, a mysterious traveling archer, Ulfgar had planned on freeing the Baron from the Mind Flayer's control himself but was a bit too late. He readily agreed to lend his bow against the fiends infesting the city. However, raiding the temple, the party moved slowly throughout the entire complex, room by room banishing the devils back to their home plane. Once they had finally cleared the temple, Lydia managed to close the remaining portal to hell through her conviction and re-sanctified the church in Peller's name. The head of the Church of Peller in Brindingford happily restored Lydia's mind, as well as turning Lysander back to his natural form. Ashram, having received a communique from the Assassin's Guild earlier, enlisted Lysander's aid in slaying an elderly dwarf who someone had desired dead. Later on, as the party was greeted to a grand celebration as the saviors of the town, Horkin, the nephew of the elderly dwarf Ashram had killed, asked Melder to allow him to accompany the group. Horkin, when his aunt died, Horkin found little left to keep himself in Brindingford. Having previously served several years within the dwarven army, Horkin was already an accomplished warrior. Impressed with the heroism of Melder of Tal, Horkin asked to accompany him on his journeys. Horkin is Melder's cohort. Here ends the Speaker in Dreams. Here begins the Standing Stone. Apparently, while the group had been locked within the city of Brindingford with the various monsters and beasts that had invaded the city, Lord Jelvin had found another job for them. Another team that he employed had disappeared to the south of where they were, near the small town of Asington. Quickly traveling south, the group soon discovered the town of Asington being terrorized by a ghostly horseman and homicidal elves. It wasn't long before the group realized not all was what it seemed, however. Discovering that the kindly sage and his helpers were in fact an evil wizard and his demonic helpers, the party engaged in mass combat against them in the village. Finally finishing off the rest of them, the party had barely managed to rest when an urgent sending from Lord Jelvin flashed through their minds. Dolphius has risen to the north. Return to Greyhawk immediately for more information. This is of vital importance.